ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Wrecking and Racing. This is your host, The Gas Man, and my co-host, Lugs.
How's it going, everybody?
So I will preface the show with this, that if Lugs sounds a little off-key this week, it's because he is. He's been under the weather. I guess he's got what I had the last couple weeks, but I am back 100% just for you guys. So a couple things to start the show off with. As always, we appreciate your support. And we appreciate your ongoing support. So please check out wreckingandracing.com. If you feel like you want to help us out, you can always go to patreon.com and give to us. You can find all the information at wreckingandracing.com. And fans, please reach out. Say hi. wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Talk about fans. We do have one fan we want to talk about this week, or at least bring up and say hi. Thank you for the conversing we've had on Facebook. That's Rita. Rita, a big Harvick fan. She's been a very happy camper this year. Stuart Haas team has really been dominant. So, Rita, appreciate listening to the show. Thank you very much. Lugs and I, we owe you a lot there. Thank you. So, this week, we are talking about Texas.
Texas.
So, everything's bigger in Texas, right, Lugs?
Sure.
I lived in Texas once. I guess I was bigger for a short time.
Yeah, so you can verify that.
Yeah, I love Texas. It's a very great state. They're very proud people down there. All y'all are good down there. You're good people. That's a very common phrase down in Texas. A couple things. What should we start the show off with this week? Should we talk about racing? Should we talk about a bit of news before we go racing? There's so much. This week, last week, we got a little emotional talking and kind of arguing a little bit about what we think is our top 10. This week is going to be just as emotional, but more direct to what's happening in the sport because... Hell, folks, this week was a big term of events for NASCAR. There's a lot of stuff going on this week.
Yeah, a lot of headlines to do with the Texas race itself, but a lot of headlines with the sport itself as well. But I'd say I think we should kick it off with the headliner regarding the new sponsorship news.
Okay, sounds great. So, for folks who don't know, Monster has extended their sponsorship of the Monster Energy Cup Series until through 2019. After 2019 is to be determined. Some folks are saying they're not coming back. We'll find out later in the future. But as of right now, we got another year of Monster Energy. So, Lugs, to celebrate this week, we're not drinking Busch Light, are we?
We are not.
So this week, we have our Monster Energy drinks.
I've got the Monster Energy Rehab Tea and Lemonade. What do you got?
I got the Absolute Zero. I am a fan of diet drinks. All I drink usually is Diet Mountain Dew or light beer. So
I like these because they're not all full of sugar and stuff. So speaking of which, Gas Man, did you drink Monster before they became the title sponsor and became involved with the sport? Be honest.
So here's my nerd card, okay? I started off energy drinks drinking Red Bull. Mm-hmm. Kind of expensive. Mm-hmm. I drink a lot of Red Bull vodka, Red Bull and Jaeger, you know, I just kind of don't want to give my past away at all, but I did drink a lot before. So I switched to Amped for a while when they sponsored Della Jr.
I wonder why that was.
Yeah, so with them sponsoring Della Jr., I did drink Amped for a while. I am a true NASCAR guy. I do follow my
You're very brand loyal.
Yes, I am. As most of us are. Yes, I am. So, and whenever Monster did take over the Cup Series, I did switch to Monster, and I'll be honest with you, I drink probably 2 to 3 a week.
Yeah, yeah.
At least. There's a lot of fireworks with this race. One thing that was actually happened before the race at Texas that kind of, I don't know if you've seen it, Lugs, but I want to bring it up just briefly. Some of you remember probably last August about Harvick talking about Junior being responsible for the stunting of NASCAR, and what he meant by that was Junior's inability to win a championship, inability in the later years to be competitive. He felt that was bad for the sport of NASCAR. Said it. We were all oohs and ahs last year about it. Kind of forgot about it, to be honest with you. And this week I was reading comments from Dale Jr. saying that he was a little disturbed by the comments. It really hits him hard. He doesn't like the fact that pressure was put on him. Mm-hmm. He knows he was kind of the face of NASCAR, but does not want to take what Harvick said as being that he was the reason NASCAR's growth was stunted. I don't
feel like that's a fair assessment.
No, if anything, I think it's the flip side. And Kevin, I hope you're listening today, and just so you can see this, what we're talking about. Without Junior, I feel like the sport of NASCAR would have been a lot less than what it was.
It would have. But I think, to not really defend Harvick's analogy there, but, you know, think about what it could have been.
Absolutely.
Junior had won 30 more races and 3 championships, or even 1 championship.
Sure, and I agree. I mean, you look at other sports, the top players, the ones that everybody talks about, are your championship, like Tom Brady, for example. I hate Tom Brady, but he is kind of the face of the NFL. 5 championships, mm-hmm. makes sense. Stephon Curry for the NBA, for anybody who watches NBA out there. Same type of deal. So I see the argument, but I still feel without Junior NASCAR, it wouldn't be where it is today. He is still an ambassador for the sport.
I agree.
So anyway, in case anybody is wanting like exact words, I'll do a quick quote for Harvick, what he said about Junior. So this is Harvick talking. So for me, I believe that Dale Jr. has been a big part in stunting the growth of NASCAR because he's got the legions of fans and this huge outreach of being able to reach these places that none of us have the possibility to reach. He's won 9 races in 10 years at Hendrick and hasn't been able to reach outside of that. That's words from Harvick. That's what we're talking about. Let's just treat that as old news now and we'll move on. To probably talk about the race, unless you have anything else to discuss pre-race.
Well, I think a good segue from that is, did you hear the comment? Harvick said that he feels like his team is better than Truex's.
Yes, thanks for bringing that up. I did hear that. And
do you agree with it?
Yes and no. This year, yes, but I think he's even referring to towards the end of last year as well. And it's kind of hard to say because how many wins did Truex have on 1.5 last year? 7?
7 or 8, I believe, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, if you want to just call it from Daytona to now, sure. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I'll agree with that too. But I'm not going to buy the fact that he was better last year. Because Stuart Haas was still figuring out the Ford. And they were competitive. Had a good year. He made the championship round. But let's face it, Truex won the championship, right? He won the Homestead and took home the trophy. So
yeah, and I'm actually seeing a common denominator here I want to throw out right now. Harvick. All these comments are being made by Harvick, about Harvick. We're going to be talking about Harvick now. We're going to be talking about him during the race. We're going to be talking about him after the race. Mm-hmm. So Harvick is kind of a
theme of this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin, we love you. Reach out to us, wreckingracing@gmail.com. We'd love to have you on the show. We're fans. We're fans of everybody, so any driver listening, give us a shout-out. So going into Texas, so we had the pre-show fireworks with Harvick, etc. Going into Texas, what did you feel like, how did you feel as a fan going to watch that race? I don't mean watching the race as in, like, you physically watch it, but what was your feelings going to? Were you excited? Were you not excited?
I was, just for the fact that we were off for Easter weekend. Had a bye week there, off week, and first week back with a good race. And with the repave at Texas, it's always usually a pretty fun race to watch. And I did watch the Xfinity race the day before. Some good racing there, some good scuffles and crashes and whatnot. So I was pretty excited about it. And kind of going into it, in the back of my mind, I figured it would be Truex, Kyle Busch, and Harvick show, and that worked out to be actually what it was. So, but, you know, a lot of other good things materialized, a lot of good news lines and storylines came out of it. But I thought it was a really good race.
Yeah, I think, you know, it had some hopes and desires that it was going to be good. And I think it turned out actually pretty, pretty good. So I think it kind of lived up to the expectations in my eyes. The Xfinity race was definitely exciting. It kind of gave you a precursor or a pre-look at what was going to happen on Sunday. Do you think the tire monster, or some people call it the tire dragon, because some other tracks use the dragon, but do you think the Texas tire monster had any kind of impact on the race?
They drug it on all grooves, right?
Yes.
I don't think it had the effect that they had hoped it would, because you got out of the lower to middle groove and you just went straight backwards. So I don't think it had the intended effect that they thought that it would.
I know some drivers were calling for it to go up by the wall, and they actually posted a video on Twitter of it running right next to the wall. But I agree, watching the race, there wasn't the grip they were expecting.
It never materialized.
Yeah.
Yep.
So as we seen from the Xfinity race, I think the day of Friday, practice was in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
The race on Saturday was, I think, in the low 40s.
Yeah, yeah. Upper 40s, maybe low 50s, but big temperature swing, definitely.
And one positive with colder temperatures is any car, engine, tuner person knows, cold air helps with horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of speed at Texas, but no grip.
Yeah.
New repaved track. So kind of that creates some of the excitement that
some
people
tire,
are going to lose.
Yep.
So definitely, I think Texas kind of presented itself to be very well. Usually when there's a repave, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of usually pissed off for the first couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe not as a wide, you know, grooved racetrack that it maybe used to be. But, you know, all good things have to come to an end, right? So.
Yeah, look what they did at Bristol. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a track they ruined for me. Let's go ahead and jump into the race now.
Go ahead and summarize it a little bit. So we all know Kyle Busch came away with the win. I do think the outcome was going to be different if Harvick didn't have so many miscues.
Miscues? We're talking about miscues?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it his fault?
No,
or
actually.
Or we're going to talk about that later.
And a couple of them were not even his crew's fault, but a few were.
Yeah.
So for him to come back and to get a second out of that, that was pretty admirable.
And not only a second, he was charging there at the end. He only finished 0.3 off the lead.
Yeah.
With just a couple laps left, he was at, you know, half a second off, and he closed it up a little bit. So I think it's really impressive. So Rita, if you're listening, being a Harvick fan, very impressive results for all the adversities he had during the race. What are those adversities?
Yeah, let's talk about those. So he had the incident where the actual lug from one of the tires flew off and went into the jack, which prevented them from being able to jack up the car. And then also they got docked for uncontrolled tire.
They didn't get docked for that.
No, they didn't.
They didn't get docked for that.
Yes, correct. Yeah. The team member fell over the wall, and they didn't get docked for that either. Technically, could have been either one. Could have been too many men over the wall, or it could have been uncontrolled tire. Either way, he didn't get docked for that.
Favoritism?
Was there another one?
Yeah, there was another issue with the pit gun not working.
Yeah, the pits.
Which is going to be a common trend that we've heard so far, and we'll continue to hear until NASCAR figures that crap out.
Right.
So, talk about Harvick. Do you feel there's any favoritism there?
Between who?
NASCAR and Harvick.
No.
You don't think so?
No, I think it was a missed call.
Okay, so missed call. Understand that. What about the fist bump? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I saw that. Does not look good.
Okay.
It does not look good.
So for the fans listening that don't know what we're discussing, after NASCAR told Harvick's crew they will not be penalized, the car chief fist bumped the NASCAR official.
Mm-hmm.
So after all this controversy and they see the teams fist bumping the officials,
kind of looks like they're in cahoots.
Well, yeah, perception is reality, right? So they say. So the perception in that case is, maybe Harvick's got a card in his back pocket. He's playing.
Right, someone being
maybe
paid.
He's got some nude pictures of Steve O'Donnell's wife or something that he's holding there. Who knows? Something. I don't know if it's favoritism, but definitely something does not look right or jive right with that.
Yeah, and I can't say I disagree with that, so.
You think he's got pictures too?
No, I'm not saying that.
Steve, if you're calling, you want to complain, or if you're listening, you want to complain, it's wreckingracing@gmail.com. That was the gas man. I'm not scared of
him. Careful, he might tweet you. I saw you had a conversation with Brent Dewar over the weekend too.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Who's Brent Dewar?
President of NASCAR.
For the fans who don't know, Brent Dewar is the president of NASCAR. Brian France is a big loser. He can't handle all the pressure himself. So Brent Dewar has to pick up his slack for him. So I did kind of call Brian France out this week on Twitter, and I did get a response and a comment from Brent Dewar. So, Brent, if you're listening, thanks for reaching out to us. We appreciate the conversation. Definitely from a fan's perspective, and Brent, I hope you're listening to this, and Brian too, is that it's hard to if you're the face of the organization, if you want to be or not, if you're a member of the France family, you are the face of NASCAR, if you like it or not, get your ass to the race.
And he was there.
And that's what Brent was telling me, is that Brent was actually... yeah, so Brent was telling me that Brian was actually with him at the race mm-hmm. this week. But
so the gas man got called out by the president of NASCAR.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I'm good with that. But how many races is he going to make this year?
I don't know.
36 races in a year,
How many has he been to so far?
Two, maybe?
I don't know. We don't know. Maybe he's
been All we hear is drivers complain about and fans complain about it.
Yeah, we don't see him, but...
Okay, so back to... Kind of got sidetracked there a little bit with some of the news and stuff. Let's go back to racing. It was a wreck fest.
Yeah.
And not just like no-name drivers, you know, untalented, wrecking out. It was all the talented named drivers that were wrecking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we had a wreck on lap two.
Yeah.
Daniel Suarez, Austin Dillon.
It was Bowman, actually. He clipped the apron a little bit, and he checked up and got a little loose, and Bubba took the air off his spoiler, and, you know, then he was gone. It was kind of the spin game after that, everyone trying to avoid him, and Suarez got collected, and actually, I don't know if you heard, but Suarez has a fractured left thumb from that accident.
I heard he hurt his hand. I did not see it was a fractured.
Yeah, I'm curious to know kind of repercussions that'll have at Bristol, because
that's a wheel and race. You're in the wheel a lot.
Could be the worst track to go to after having some sort of a hand injury, in my opinion.
Yeah, very true. We'll see how that impacts him.
But he was cleared to race, so we'll see.
And so, okay, it's going to maybe impact him at Bristol. What would you think he would have finished on a good day?
I think Suarez has potential. I think he could do a top five.
I bet he doesn't come in anything better than 15th. That's my guess.
This weekend?
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think on a healthy day, maybe 10th. I like Daniel. He engages his fans. He's definitely needed for the sport, mm-hmm. but I'm not sold on him 100% yet.
Mm-hmm.
So something I still got to work on. I got to see a bit more out of him. So he's been hot and cold.
Yeah. And you said that about Erik Jones a few weeks ago, too.
I did.
And then he led quite a few laps this weekend.
Yeah, he finished, what, fifth, I think it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about where some of these...
He's very good at Bristol, too. He's led quite a few races there. He almost won, I think it was last fall, and Bush ended up beating him, but it wasn't by much.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be competitive this weekend.
We'll see. And you know, for a young kid, I hope he does. I hope he does succeed next week. I'd rather see him win than Kyle Busch.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree, but I think Kyle is definitely going to be the guy to beat.
Probably the favorite going in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely. Rewinding, going back, so Bowman, that accident on lap two or three, what do we have after that? What was the next big dust up?
Truex, I have Truex down and wrecking on lap 80.
Yeah, Truex blew a tire, a couple tire issues, so Truex, Larson, and Newman.
Yeah, Larson's on lap 127.
Which... I don't know if you were watching the race live at this particular moment or not, but it was a pretty incredible part of the race, I thought. They were actually talking about Newman, and he was on a different cycle than the leaders. I think he was running third at the time, and they were just talking about how he was going to have to come in and get tires, and the cameras were on him, and right then, that's when his tire blew out, coming through the dog leg, and man, he smashed that wall. It was pretty crazy, like how... The camera was already on because, you know, 99% of the wrecks we see are
they're in commercial,
replays.
Right?
Yeah, well, that too, yeah. But it's either a replay. But this was live, you know, actually happening right there. They're talking about it, and then boom, it was pretty crazy.
No, I did not see that. I had good weather for once on Sunday, so I was actually doing a little bit of yard work. So I was kind of in and out, trying to replay it and catch up with it. I had some help with me, and I had to take advantage of that help to get some yard work done, so... Unfortunately, fans, I have a life occasionally and have to get some stuff done, so I apologize. But I did catch up with the race. It wasn't live necessarily throughout 100% of the race, but I did catch up in between.
So then after that, I had those tire issues, and then big wreck involving Hamlin, Almirola, Johnson, and Keselowski.
Yeah. So.
Which Hamlin... pretty much was at fault there, in my opinion.
Yeah, there was really no way around it. I mean, that's kind of what I was going to say, is that was all 100% Hamlin.
Yeah, looked to be an aero issue. You just couldn't gather it up, and he clipped Almirola. And from there, it was, you know, all out the window. But nonetheless, some pretty big names taken out of that race.
Yeah, you know, you start seeing people finishing in the top, you know, 15, 20, that's kind of surprising. It's because half the field was wrecked out.
Yeah. And Bubba Wallace, he was running, he was running second whenever there was the crash came out for Newman, the caution came out for Newman. He rebounded. I think he finished eighth. So it was a good rebound for Bubba. Byron got his first top 10 of the season, came home 10th. So that was exciting.
Yeah, so the rookies, 8th and 10th.
Good
that's,
to see.
Yeah, nice.
Good to see
nice.
William get his first top 10. So good to see those two up there.
Yeah, and folks, listeners, fans, crew, I do want to talk to you real quick about your drivers. So sometimes we might make you mad about saying things about your drivers. You know, like I said, we're fans. Sometimes certain people piss us off. Sometimes they don't. So we may talk bad one week about somebody. Next week we may not. Reach out to us. You know, tell us that kind of stuff. Tell us, you know, who your driver is. And maybe it's somebody off the wall we don't usually talk about. Tell us that and we can start talking about it. Make sure we bring them up on the episodes for you. We want to make sure we cater to our fans and do what we can for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, wreckingandracing@gmail.com, wreckingandracing.com. Reach out to us, guys. Let us know.
So on that kind of comparative note, Gasman, so Byron, after Texas, 18th in the points. Bubba, 19th. What's your thoughts on that? I'll be honest, thought there would be a pretty big, bigger disparity there.
Yeah, I thought there would be two. I figured Byron would be closer up to like 15th. Yeah, I figured Bubba would be more like 22nd, 23rd.
Yeah. So
you know, that's kind of what I would guess.
Really, I'm glad to see Bubba as competitive as he is and, you know, putting the limelight back on Petty and, you know, whatnot. But good stuff there. I'm glad to see him competitive.
So why is Petty competitive now when he wasn't in the last couple of years?
Well, I think the alliance with RCR has a lot to do with it, but you know, I don't know. You could be the new car, could be them hitting the reset button over the winter, could be, you know, who knows? I don't know. Who knows what if it's just one thing, but you know, I'm glad to see that they're hitting new levels. Almirola, you know, you didn't quite see him up there quite this much, I don't feel like, at this point of a season, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, so good luck to Bubba. Good luck to Petty going forward, definitely. One takeaway I have from Texas, how many cars were on the lead lap?
10, I believe.
10. It seems like that's kind of a constant theme this year is that, I mean, look at Daytona. I think we finished with like 6 cars. That's what it feels like anyway. So why is it because of the overtime rules now? Not the overtime rules, excuse me, the damage rules and stuff like that. You think there's...
I don't think it was that. I think what got a lot of people at Texas was that there was a couple different strategies going on. And a lot of guys got stuck a lap down there with 50 to go, and there was those two different strategies going on. And then that caution came out for Newman. I think that got a lot of people a lap down.
Yeah,
Chase Elliott.
You're probably right. Yeah, Chase finished 11th.
Yeah,
so the first car lap down. So I could see that. It just seems like it's a constant theme from race to race this year,
mm-hmm.
And maybe it happened last year too. And it just doesn't feel that way. But having a minimum number of cars on lead lap actually being competitive, it's kind of, I don't know, maybe we'll just keep an eye on it, and maybe we'll bring it up in a future episode or something. And
well, I can say that I don't see that really changing this weekend.
No, true. Very true. So, I mean, I really don't want to get in Bristol too much. That's for next week. But I just don't feel it has the flair it once did.
Bristol?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we need a good Labonte Earnhardt episode, you know? Hey, I think we were watching one of those races together, weren't we?
Yeah, we did, actually. 99?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. A couple other noting finishes is that Eric Jones 4th, Ryan Blaney 5th. It's not really a big call-out other than he dominated the Xfinity race.
Yeah. Blaney's really kind of, I think, taking the banner for Penske, in my opinion.
Kinda, yeah, it kind of feels that way. Yes, yes, but let's talk about points real quick. Who's number 1 and number 2 in points?
Kyle's first and Logano's second.
Yes, exactly. Logano. So somebody who honestly we haven't hardly talked about all season is running second in points. So talking about taking a banner at Penske, Blaney. Blaney is
third
in points. So, I mean, Penske's having a very strong showing. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there real quick. Sorry to interrupt on that. Any other, like, call-outs for the race or finishes?
Not off the top of my head, no. I think Poyer came home sixth, so good follow-up to his win at Martinsville. Sure.
Yeah, Keselowski 33rd, Hamlin 34th, Johnson 35th, Larson 36th, and Truex 37th. Why was Truex 37th? Because we didn't have enough cars to field the whole race. He would have been 40th. So that's been, again, a occurring theme this year is that we cannot get enough cars to completely field a race.
How about McMurray coming home third?
Yeah, he was it McDonald's this week? I'm trying to remember where it's Cessna.
I can't remember.
I can't remember either. But anyway, you know, gotta love it, right? Isn't that with the McDonald's theme or something?
I'm loving it.
I'm loving it. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
good for McMurray. You know, that's one of the stronger showings for a Chevy this year, other than Austin winning the Daytona.
Yeah, I know Larson has the McDonald's scheme this weekend for Bristol. I didn't know McDonald's was even sponsoring Larson. But
yeah, either did
I. Saw it on Facebook today that he's carrying their colors for Bristol, and then I think Chase is running some special Mountain Dew scheme.
Oh, yeah, I heard that there was a lot of Camaros this week with special paint schemes. I have not looked up to see what they were or what sponsors they may be for, like, a short-term deal. So the weather going into Bristol looks pretty favorable.
Is it? I haven't looked at it yet.
So we're located. We're a couple hours from Bristol, obviously, but we're looking in the 70s. I think Bristol's supposed to be pushing 70 as well.
Good.
And we've been so used to all these cold temperatures that, you know, kind of created some different strategies, some different aspects for the races previously. So maybe going this week, actually being warm might throw the curveball a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, anything to kind of get a little bit more excitement back at the, what do they call it? The
Thunder Valley?
Well, the Coliseum.
Yeah.
You've been to Bristol. That's one track I've not been to that I really want to go.
Yeah. Went in 2001. Night race, yep.
Guess where I'm going?
Daytona.
So Lugs and I, for all of our fans still listening who haven't turned us off yet because they hate our voices, and Daytona
or
and
listening to me cough as I try to get over my sickness here.
July 7th, the Coke Zero Sugar 400. Lugs and I will be there. We would love to meet some of our fans. So please email us, wreckingracing@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Facebook.
Yeah, if you're going, let us know where you're sitting, what seats you've got, or what you're going to maybe look for. And, you know, maybe we'll meet up with you guys down there. We're going to put a lot of pictures and stuff on the website when we get back. So be some cool stuff going on down there. And I think we're also going to have some pretty cool merchandise to maybe hand out to people that will...
That's what we're aiming for, and please, guys, if you want to help us out, you know, help with our plane tickets, our everything that costs me, everything costs money, as everybody knows, feel free, check out wreckingracing.com. You can always donate, you know, help us out for here the show. This operating a podcast is not cheap. We have to definitely try to keep this thing going, this ship it right for you guys. So we will sink with the ship if we have to, but hopefully it'll never come the day that we have to. We want to thank you guys. Yeah. We are just getting started. You know, this is the Titanic voyage, so hopefully it ends a little bit better. Hopefully, make that New York Harbor. You know,
so a couple headlines here, and I don't know, Gasman, if you saw these or not, but did you see Mr. Chad Knauss is expecting a son?
Actually, I did. Somebody shared it on Twitter, and I did see that.
Yeah.
I didn't think Chad Knauss was even married. I forgot he got married.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's expecting a son. Another headline with that, or I don't know if it was a headline, but something somebody brought up I saw, was that this is his last year of his current contract with Hendrick.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And do you think he's going to name his kid Chad? Or not Chad, but Little Chad or Mini Chad? Whatever
maybe.
Twitter thing is.
Yeah, Mini Chad. Maybe, but what I'm getting at here is Lowe's is leaving.
Oh, yeah, Lowe's is leaving, so...
Do you see...
That's interesting.
Chad walking away? You think he's going to re-sign again? Johnson said he's not retiring. He's not. He's got more time left in him, so...
I think Chad's going to be there with Johnson.
Till the end?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't see it being more than 3-4 years.
Okay. But you know the kind of...
I'm sure there's been dialogue about it.
Rivalry they have in their... In the scanner, you hear it like
oh, you hear it, but yeah, exactly. They've been married for how many years now? Yeah,
2002. So.
Yeah, so you're gonna have that with. I mean, me and you were kind of like that, right? At points,
yeah,
we were very honest with each other. I mean, we've known each other for so long, so that comes with the territory, I think. And some people might look at that and say, "Oh man, they really hate each other. There's conflict within the team or the organization." I don't feel that way. I just think it is two guys who know each other very well.
Let's say they get the ship righted, they turn it around, somehow they go out and win the championship this year.
Not happening.
Do you see them walking away? Let's say it happens. They get championship 8 this year. See them walking away, calling it done, hanging it up, going out on top.
I would like to say yes, because any big sports person should go out on top if they can. Racers are a different breed of sports people. Mm-hmm. They tend to
they've always have prolong that competitive it. Fire. Yep.
So we can bring up tons of examples. So let's just start running down a list. Richard Petty, Darryl Waltrip, Dick Trickle, Morgan Shepherd.
Morgan Shepherd's still trying to
recover. Shepherd's how old? 78?
70 something.
Yeah. So
I don't think he's that old. I think he's 78. I think he's like 71, 72.
Either way, you know why? Good for you. Good for you. I'm not going to say anything bad because you're in a place that even as a guy pushing a walker, I have not ever even been in that position. So, you know, you pushing a walker, you're driving a car. I wish I even had that chance.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I can't be mad at him.
Yeah, no, good for you. But, I mean, we've had history after history of racers who should hang up, but they don't.
Yeah.
Derek Cope's another one.
Still attempting races.
Yeah. Joe Nemechek for a little bit. I love Joe. Front row Joe.
Kenny.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a couple, definitely a couple. Which Kenny, Wallace or Schrader?
Schrader.
Yeah, both probably.
Well.
Yeah. And you know, this sounds like we're dogging these guys, but really we're not. Very lot of respect for Ken Schrader and Kenny Wallace both, because they still do the local tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Still reach the fan base.
Absolutely.
And I actually talk about that in a blog. So go wreckingyourracing.com, check out our blogs that we have as well. And, you know, I kind of do talk about the grassroots and history of NASCAR and how people like Kenny Wallace and Kenny Schrader we value because they bring the sport to the local tracks, to the fan base. They're not so much commercialized and big city folk like some of these guys are. So definitely respect those kind of guys.
So next topic, it was announced F1 is going commercial free for the rest of 2018. What's your thoughts on that? This is on ESPN, by the way. This is on ESPN for the rest of 2018. All the races on ESPN are going to be commercial free. Thoughts on that? And could that ever be implemented with NASCAR?
So let me start off with this.
And I know love F1 gas, man. So
I don't. This has nothing to do with F1.
I know I'm picking at your
heartstrings. This has nothing
right
to
here.
Do with F1. But let me just start here that you just pissed me off. Okay. Because I had not seen that. You just mentioned this, so I have not had a chance to digest this
yet. And I've
yet.
Been holding on to this for the last 2 days because I knew it would piss you off.
So, okay, here's one reason why it pisses me off. The race this week in Texas, Xfinity was on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
The Cup race was on Fox Sports 1.
Yes, yes.
What the heck is wrong with the people come up with the TV plans for NASCAR? That, you know what, F1, good for you, F1. You suck, but still, yeah, good for you. You'll never have the feel as NASCAR does. You cannot beat and bang and give that excitement to the fan like NASCAR can. And we're going to hide NASCAR on NBC Sports and on Fox Sports 1. What the hell is wrong with this picture?
I feel like they just need to do whether it's a monthly subscription type deal, or I mean, I know you can probably get it in the sling packages and stuff like that, right? I don't know. I haven't really looked into it that much because I have, you know, regular cable, but
I cut the cord a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't get their Aces.
Mm-hmm. How'd you watch
three
it
quarters
Sunday?
Of the time? Because I bootlegged my parents' account to get on Fox Sports app on my Fire Stick. That's how.
Gotcha. So.
Yeah, for people like me who have cut the cord and tend not to want to pay all these exuberant prices,
but are still
for
a true NASCAR fan.
Yeah, it kills
how,
me.
What should NASCAR do about that?
Put it back on your local networks. Your regular NBC, Fox, etc.
So let me put it this way. If there was a $10 or $20 a month option where you had full access, and I'm not talking about just the standard, you know, race view, but you had access to your personal, you know, driver on the track, you know, seeing what he's seeing, all of this, you know, race chatter, everything between the driver, crew chief, spotter, all of that, $20 a month.
I'm sure they have something like that on NASCAR.com.
Yes, but on regular, you know.
Like through an app or something,
yeah,
on the Fire Stick or
Roku
or something.
Yeah, your phone, not.
Yeah. So would I, you're asking, would I be willing to pay?
Yeah, is that a solution, do you feel like?
Yes and no. So you're a NASCAR fan, people like us, regular people. Okay, we're blue-collar kind of people. We work hard for our money. We do. We work for a living. We work hard for our money. Mm-hmm. It is asinine from NASCAR to have the expectation as a fan for us to pay,
let's $100 say, a month for a TV package. Well, that
any kind of package, honestly. Now, if it's $5 a month, it's one thing. But when you start pushing more than 10, that's beer money, right? If I have to make a choice between Busch Light and watching a race each week, I may, you know, take a break one week and drink a little bit more beer, then next week flip it around. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that NASCAR, this whole conversation we've having today, talking about perception, etc., NASCAR is losing touch with the fan base.
So let me put it this way, and I'm... I apologize because we're kind of going off on a side tangent that I don't think we really planned on doing. But, you know, let's face it. NASCAR needs more exposure with the millennials, right? The younger demographic, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Me and you are actually technically considered millennials.
Yeah, we're at the very end of that.
But, yeah, but we're not like the rest of the millennials.
Many,
we don't eat
Okay,
Tide
let
Pods.
Me ask you this.
Actually, that's generation.
How many people do you know, in the younger demographic, whether they're considered millennials or not, actually have a cable package that has those channels to watch the race?
I say at least 60% of my friends
have cut cable.
My family have cut cable. Actually, I'm working with my parents right now to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're old. And they have no idea how to even text, let alone operate a Fire Stick. But damn it, they're going to learn.
So I guess what I'm getting at is there has to be something to entice the fans to, you know, check out whatever media it is that's going to appeal to them.
I agree. And maybe that package of being able to have a little more access with your fans or access with your drivers, the helmet cam or whatever it might be, might help with that. But in the growing part of the sport, there is... So in NASCAR, one great thing about NASCAR is that you have a driver you follow, right?
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, that was more of the case than it is now. 20 years ago, you had one brand, one driver. They win on Sunday, you buy on Monday. Okay, that's kind of feel. Nowadays, you have a group of drivers. I like Larson. I like Austin. I like Bowman. So it comes down to...
Some might. I mean, some might still have that one.
Some do still have that one, but what I'm seeing is an increased trend in people liking a group and not one. So if you're going to create a package where you're following a driver, you're going to have to make it more appetizing than a driver, is what I'm saying. So Ryan, Blaney, and Bubba are like best friends, right? So... A lot of fans for Ryan are fans of Bubba, vice versa.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of atmosphere I'm talking about where fans like us, because, okay, I'm going to call you out right now, Lugs. Who's your favorite driver? Name one driver to be your favorite driver.
That's currently driving?
Right now, yes.
Larson.
That's your favorite driver right now.
I'm not saying it's my favorite.
But right now. Right now, right?
You said pick a favorite.
Yeah, so, okay. So, right now, so you say Larson if you had to pick one. But, truly, who are you a fan of right now? There's probably at least five?
Yeah, there's five or six guys that I genuinely root for and would like to see win, yeah.
10 years ago, how many drivers?
One.
Okay, that's my point. That's what I'm getting to is that old school us, we were one driver, you know, one fan base. Now, even I have switched to multiple drivers. I am a fan of the sport as much as I am the drivers. There's a couple of drivers I'd rather not be, you know, associated with whatsoever. I'll keep those to myself at this moment, although you can probably tell yes. by some of my...
please do keep that to yourself.
Some of my comments and stuff I've made about particular drivers. Andy, a friend of ours, if you're listening, like your drivers that you like, yeah, don't even bring those to the table. So I guess what I'm getting to, Lugs, is the atmosphere is changing. NASCAR has to change to accommodate for that. I don't have a solution to it, but
yeah, neither do I. But I think it starts with this viewership issue. Like for me, I stumbled across NASCAR flipping through channels, you know, 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago. That's not going to happen now when people don't have access to the channels that they're being broadcasted on, right?
Yeah,
unless
you're
they
right.
Actively and seek it out. What is NASCAR? What are they doing? What's the goal? What's the reason it exists? And
you know how many people I've heard in the past that on a Sunday they're not doing anything but eat lunch with the family, and then they go and turn on NASCAR because it just happens to be what's on TV.
Right.
You don't have that now.
No, absolutely not. So
nobody's going to go looking for Fox Sports 1 unless you're a true fan.
Exactly.
We need to find a way to get back to the roots, get back to the occasional fan. The occasional fan is just as important as the everyday fan.
Yeah.
So, all fans matter.
All fan lives matter.
Yes.
No, that's a good topic. And like I said, didn't anticipate going down that road, but that's some good dialogue.
But yeah, thanks for pissing me off.
That was all off of F1. But you didn't really answer my question. Do you ever see NASCAR going commercial free like that, like F1? You didn't really answer my question.
They better.
You
went
completely around the planet and didn't answer my question.
So, do I see it? Yeah, they've made some strides with it a little bit. With some
side by side.
Yeah, but they need to get off their asses and do it sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. They really do.
Fair enough.
And I apologize. I've had dirty mouth this episode. I really, really apologize, folks.
Hey, you censored yourself that one time. I was kind of proud of you there.
Just to let you know, for the fans that are still listening who, I guess, don't hate our voices as bad as most people, I am by far the more exuberant, mouthy one of the group. So, like, again, this is the gas man.
I'm not going to disagree with that. So, a little bit of news today, literally, I'd say a couple hours before we completed this podcast, some news concerning the All-Star Race.
The what?
The All-Star Race. So, talking about the format, as well as the introduction of, you know what I'm talking about? Did you hear about it?
Oh, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Restrictor plates.
Yeah, an actual whole aero package and restrictor plates.
Yeah,
right.
What do you think about it? So they had this package or similar package, Xfinity at the Indianapolis Brickyard race last August, right? So a lot of lead changes. It was a pretty exciting race. I remember watching that race, not in person, but on TV. William Byron actually won it. It was a pretty exciting race. So I'm very optimistically excited about it. And I think it could turn out to be something. I don't know what the racing is going to be like, though, because Indy, you've got long, 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 long straightaways and drafting, and, you know, you really had to kind of strategize your moves and plan what you're going to do. But at Charlotte, I don't know. That's a different track, completely different track. So Is it going to be that same thing? Are they going to be in packs? Is it... I don't know.
So...
I just don't know what to expect.
I don't know what to expect either, and they need to do something with the NASCAR All-Star Race.
Yeah, it's been kind of a snooze fest the last three or four years. So
it has been.
I applaud them for trying something new. Last year they did the option tires, and I think that was cool as well, although...
I don't think it had the results they were hoping for.
No, they said it was going to be a half second quicker with the softer compounds, and turned out not to be the case. They were only like 0.2 faster or something like that. So I don't think they got the desired outcome that they wanted there. But I'm cautiously optimistic about this. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but you know, they got to do something. I applaud them at least taking a step in the right direction to get some sort of change out of it.
You remember when they ran restrictor plates at New Hampshire?
Yeah.
So the race really sucked.
Yeah.
And I do have some reserves or concerns because of that experience.
But that was, what, 2000?
Yeah, and Charlotte's nothing like New Hampshire.
Exactly.
So.
Competition is much stiffer now. Because Jeff Burton led every lap of that race.
Every single lap. Yeah. Yes.
I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening. I'm cautiously optimistic for results like Indy, where there's, I do want to bring this up, how I found out about the restrictor plates. You know how I found out about the restrictor plates going to be involved with the All-Star race?
Because I tweeted it yesterday.
Because I seen it from our Wrecking and Racing Facebook page. So, for fans listening, I get on there and post stuff. Lugs gets on there and post stuff. And we don't actually share with each other every single thing.
Yeah.
So, there's times where people are responding to him, responding to me. And we're like, what the hell is this about? They come to find out it's because one of us posted something earlier. So, just bear with us on that. And we love corresponding with our fans. So, please, you know, like Rita, for example, respond back to us, talk to us.
So, when you saw that yesterday.
So definitely, it was kind of funny because I tried to like it and post my own comment. And for the fans who don't know who I am, that's good. You don't need to know who I am. But I tried liking it and discussing my feelings on it. And when I did that, on Facebook, it changed from my name and my picture to Wrecking Racing. Because I guess it defaulted since I am an admin on the account. So I was trying to interact as me as a fan. To what you posted.
You're a millennial. You should know how technology works.
I don't tweet and twit.
You don't Twitter?
Whatever it's called.
Twiddle?
I do a little bit because, I mean, I did have a conversation with Brent Dewar. But anyway, back to restrictor plates. I am cautiously optimistic. I'm hoping for good results. But the cautiously part is because of the New Hampshire experience when we were in high school at the time.
Yeah, but I mean, absolutely. But I mean, you look at last year with the Brickyard for the Xfinity. I mean, that was completely different. So
it was, and that's the optimistic part. So I had to cautiously, because of what's happened in the past, I'm optimistic by what happened.
Yeah, and you got to think, New Hampshire, flat track, no banking.
Short.
Not a lot of speed.
Half the size of Charlotte.
Yeah, so I don't think we're going to get that outcome out of it. But, you know, I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens. I've only got one more thing on my list here. You got anything else before I head down that road?
No, you're good. You're good. And just the fans, so you know what we're talking about, is each week when we do an episode, we don't share our notes with each other. So we can kind of bring up stuff that maybe we weren't expecting. In this case, Lugs brought up the no commercial, you know, thing. So stuff like that, we want to bring as what we see as fans to the table. So it's a little bit more raw and unfiltered for you guys.
And we like to bring up the topics. We don't rehearse this really at all. We kind of try to catch each other off guard and really get each other's unfiltered, raw feedback. So.
Like last week, our top 10 list, that was really fun. And I really wanted to punch you in the face. And NASCAR Hub, because they did their top 50 as well.
Yeah, so. I thought they did a good job.
Shut up.
I give them a lot of credit.
Shut up. What you do? Just go and watch them and write down your damn list?
We published it before it went live, so that theory doesn't even work.
Anyway, go on.
You're just mad because my list was more in line with theirs.
So. Yeah, but they're idiots. So if you want to be more aligned with idiots. They are not idiots.
All right, so last thing I just want to talk about is throw out some picks for Bristol, really. Who do you expect to do well?
So is this like a fantasy round? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, why not? Who do you think, who's going to be? Okay, so pick me a winner first off. Give me a couple people in the top five, and who you think is going to really struggle? Who's going to be a disappointment?
Winner, Kyle Busch.
You can't pick Kyle Busch.
Why?
Because I pick Kyle Busch.
Okay. So, all right, so this is what I see. And I'm hoping this is along the lines of what you're asking. So, contending for the win. How about that?
Sure.
Contending for the win.
And I'm just kidding. You can pick Kyle Busch. But that's who I was
going
to pick.
Yeah, I think Busch is going to... I think he... We kind of discussed earlier. I think he's a favorite going in. I see Harvick being a top five car, not a top two car.
Mm-hmm.
I see Kurt Busch being a top 10 car. Surprisingly. Let's see. So... My rookie contender, I think Byron will do better than Bubba.
Think so.
The young guns, I don't know who you would consider young guns necessarily anymore. I think Larson will probably be top five car.
Yeah. I think Blaney will be good.
I do. I think Blaney will be probably fifth or sixth.
Penske tends to be pretty good at Bristol.
So let's throw it your way. What's some of your thoughts on this?
So... I think Jones is going to be impressive. He's always done well at that track. but I think Busch is going to be the car to beat. I don't know. I don't really have one specific person that maybe might struggle. I'm curious to see if Chevy's going to be able to do anything.
Let's do this. Let's go down team by team. So we'll start off with Gibbs since we both said Kyle Busch. So the best finish for Gibbs, Busch first.
Yes.
Right? RCR. Who's our RCR drivers?
Are we umbrelling?
We'll throw Bubba a Petty in into it. Okay. Sure. We'll do Petty and RCR.
I'm gonna just say Newman because he's the most experienced.
So we have Austin, Newman, Bubba.
That's it.
I will say Bubba will be the top finisher of those three.
Really?
Yes. Now, place, I think probably a 15th-ish. 15th-ish.
Is that a word?
I don't know. Yeah. So we'll say around 15th.
Okay. Penske. I
think Blaney will do good, but I think Keselowski will finish better.
Yeah. I'm gonna pick Blaney.
Okay. And
Hendrick.
You'll probably have to listen to this next week so we can kind of compare our results.
Yeah.
Johnson. I think Johnson will be a top five car.
I think Elliott's going to rebound. He had that penalty.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a second. That just reminds me about some other stuff that happened today. So who are we missing? Penske. I'm assuming we're counting Fernturo with
Gibbs. Yeah. Roush.
Is that even a team anymore?
Be nice. No one's ever going to call in to us if you keep...
No, I mean, Ricky Stenhouse, he did date Danica for a while. I got respect
the guy. Yeah, I saw on Twitter he's got some new girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she looks pretty good.
Should I edit this part out?
Nah.
Okay. So...
JT Daugherty.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean...
Hey, Allmendinger's had some good runs.
He has, Martinsville,
short track-wise.
I wouldn't be shocked to see Allmendinger top 10. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and Stuart Haas. So... Easy to say Harvick's probably going to be the podium there, or the front runner.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. So anyway, that's our fantasy roundup for this week. Any kind of sleepers that might pop in there, like a Michael McDowell?
Yeah.
Matt Diabenedetto.
Diabenedetto. Yeah, he had a top five at Bristol a couple years ago. So I could see him doing something. I think Allmendinger. I think he's pretty good at short tracks. So I think Allmendinger is maybe one to watch out for as a dark horse. I don't see him winning, but definitely top 10, potential top 5.
Sure. Maybe
Menard. I don't know.
I don't see Menard. I say my sleeper is a Landon Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll have a top 15.
In the double zero.
So, good luck to everybody. I hope everybody has a chance to win it. And I don't see that happening, but it'd be great to see that. So I don't have much more to talk about, but you did kind of bring up something a moment ago that maybe
Chase.
Remember. Yeah, Chase. So talking about Chase and his penalties, the news that came out today is that there was a, you might have to help me out with this, a rear support bracket in the back window, kind of like what Harvick had.
Exactly, yeah.
So he lost 20 points after this infraction, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with Chase, that makes two penalties, two pretty severe penalties this year.
The first one was, what, 25-point deduction?
Yeah, 25 points at Phoenix, or ISM, whatever you want to call it, but that's 45 points. So earlier we're talking about Byron being 18th and Bubba being 19th, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that was standings as of yesterday. With the deduction of points for Chase, it actually shook that up a little bit. So yeah. Byron is now 17th, yep. Chase is 18th, and Bubba's 19th.
Yep.
So I kind of figured it out real quick that Chase is sitting 18th in points. Had he not had either penalty, he would be in 13th, very close to being in 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually a pretty big kick. I mean, 45 points when you already only...
It's a whole race.
Yeah, it is a whole race. He only has 128 points for the season. At 25% of those, he's lost.
Yeah.
So that 128 is considered a loss, but if you only have 128 points and you've lost 45 already this year, that's not on a good path.
But again, he's just going to make top 16 to qualify for the chase, so...
And obviously, if you win...
Then you're in.
Yeah. I definitely think he has a chance to win a race this year.
Yeah. I mean, he's only... Newman occupies the 16th spot with 171 points. So he's only got, like, I don't know, 15 points or so before he would take over that spot.
Yeah. Chase, I hope you get your stuff together and stop being penalized. I mean, if you have any more infractions this year...
Well, the bigger infraction there, to me, is Gustafson is suspended for two races, unless they're going to appeal it.
They'll appeal it, but they ain't going to win.
Yeah, so him being without Gustafson is my bigger concern there.
We say that, but how many times have we seen it where a Darian Grubb steps in and gets a victory, you know? So it might be one of those fluke things. Maybe Chase could need that shakeup.
Could be.
We'll see.
Yeah,
you know, we'll see.
I read Kenny Francis is stepping in.
Hey, that's a seasoned crew chief.
Yeah.
So he's spent a lot of time with Casey Kane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, good luck to them. But, Chase, stop getting infractions. You're really going to kick yourself to the curb, man. So, I don't have anything else to add for the week. Lugs, anything?
Nope. That was the last thing I had was running through the picks for next week. So
awesome. Well, fans, thank you again for listening to another episode of Reckoning Racing. I know our voices are annoying and horrible, but we appreciate you listening all the way through. ReckoningRacing.com, ReckoningRacing@gmail.com. Follow us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play.
And Twitter.
Facebook. You name it, we're there probably. So reach out to us if we're not on the platform that you like, and we'll try to get on there. So thanks again, fans, and have a great day.
See you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.